Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to Barbecue Nation. That's the BBQ Nation. I'm JT, along with my second in command, the Davester, high atop the radio world in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in downtown Portland, Oregon. And we welcome all of our affiliates on the Radio Northwest Network. I haven't had a drink in 3 weeks. Radio Northwest Network and our affiliates down in Texas, too. Hey, have you ever thought about having your dream job? Hopefully it's not in radio. And what would that job be? Maybe a race car driver or a professional golfer. That would be me if I could be a pro golfer, an actor. Well, I was one for a while. But what if your job was to test and evaluate grills and smokers? Today on Barbecue Nation, we have just that man who has that dream job, Max Good from, amazingribs.com. You remember our buddy Meathead who sneaks around here every once in a while. He's going to join us to share this year's 2018 Pitmasters Awards for the best value in barbecue grills and smokers. We're going to go down south today for our music, little Leonard Skinner there. And one last thing before we jump over to Max, Barbecue Nation is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef from the heart of the Pacific Northwest. Beef you can feel really good about, and it tastes good too. And David's nodding his head. Max Good, welcome to Barbecue Nation. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing terrific. You have got a hell of a job, man. I can tell you that. I mean, other than putting up with Meathead, I think you've probably got the dream job in the world.
Yeah, well, like with everything else in life, it has its pluses and minuses. I'm a pretty happy guy. We have a lot of fun.
So give us a little background on Max Good. How did you come to work with Meathead on Amazing Ribs? And how did you kind of take it from there to build it what it is today?
Well, it started because I have a small barbecue sauce company called Black Swan. I don't know if we ever talked about that.
No.
I'll have to send you some, sure. See what you think of it. It's just a mom-pa organization, but we've been doing it for a while. And I have a background in film and video and music. And once I started selling my Black Swan barbecue sauce, a bunch of my friends that were still involved with film and video said, you know, there's all these food shows and barbecue shows. You should have a show. So I said, you know what? They're right. I really should. So I wrote up an idea for it, and I got it in the hands of an executive producer at WTTW here in Chicago. They're one of the big NPR stations. And they liked it, and we started trying to find sponsorship for it. And when I tell you the theme of the show, it may sound a little familiar. It's not just about recipes. It was also supposed to be about myth-busting, technique, mm-hmm. history, the culture of barbecue. So as I'm working on it, right away I find AmazingRibs.com, and I called Meathead, and we got together, and that's how we met. The end of this story is that the show never got made, but Amazing Ribs took off like a rocket, and Meathead just said, hey, I need some help. You want to come help me out? I said, sure. So that was six or more years ago, and the website just continues to explode in popularity, and it's been a lot of fun, and we stay pretty busy, but we're happy with our work.
Oh, I bet you are. I got to tell you a quick story. About 1998 or so, I talked to a guy who was a producer at HGTV, and I told him, like you, I had this idea for a show. using my stuff, the cowboy cook, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't Dutch oven. It was just Western flavors and food and so on and so forth. And then talking about the Western lifestyle a little bit, too. And the guy came back at me and he says, there is no room on television for any show like that, whether it has to do with cowboys or race cars or what have you. And he really dressed me down, and I was kind of offended because I thought, I'm just pitching a show to you, you know? And I don't think that guy works there anymore, because if you look at about 2 years later, how everything just exploded on cable, as you well know, I think he's probably a janitor in McDonald's in Baton Rouge or something now. Who knows? Anyway, so your job at Amazing Ribs is to test and evaluate the grills and the smokers. Do you send out a notice? How do you get the machines? I mean, do you send out a notice and say we're doing this and the company sends you one, or do you go buy them so that there's no, conflict of interest? I don't, even if they gave them to you, there wouldn't be a conflict of interest in my book, but how does that process work?
Well, we used to buy more of them than we do now. The reason being that, when I first started with Meathead, he sent me to, the HPB Expo, Hearth Patio and Barbecue Exposition. And I'm walking from booth to booth going, hey, I'm Max Good with AmazingRibs.com. They're going, who, what, get out of here. You know, now when I go, people are, you know, I wear my Amazing Ribs shirt. It's got my name on it. People go, oh, Max Good, oh, please come here, you know. So we have so many people just contacting me, really wanting to send me equipment. But we still do have to purchase some equipment, and it, that's okay. You know, it's when people want to send us something, we have a product testing policy, and we make it very clear that our first duty is to our readers, and that we will do a thorough examination of the product and judge it in relationship to its price. You know, and I don't expect something that's a couple hundred bucks to be in. compete in every way with something that's a couple thousand bucks.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of a, I can't really, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here. I can't really plug these things into a computer and say, analyze this. You
right.
know? I cook on them. I give them, I put them through the paces, you know, they have to accept our policy. I ultimately say we put a lot of effort into everything we test, and even though we'll show you a draft of the review and you can comment on it, and maybe I've misspelled your name or something is wrong, or maybe you want to dispute something, that's okay. You'll have a chance. But ultimately, we will post it whether it's good or bad, and they have to agree to that before they send us anything. We don't take perks, you know, and we don't resell the stuff either. I should hasten to say, you know, when it's done, they can come pick it up. Some choose to do that, others don't. In which case, I might keep it, or we give a lot of equipment out to the local fire department here. They're my good buddies now.
Sure. Oh yeah.
We don't take perks. We don't sell equipment. We don't sell equipment either. I mean, we have somewhere to buy links, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll have that whether we give it a good review or a bad review. If it's available on the internet, we'll put something up, you know. So I guess what I'm saying is we understand that the source of our popularity is our integrity and our objective, thorough reviews and information. So we don't want to kill the goose that laid the golden egg by doing any funny business with the manufacturers.
No, I understand completely. I mean, having a radio show like this, I get offers from people. Some I've taken, but I've never said I would endorse it. You know, that's a different deal. So, you got to kind of be careful on that thing. But, that's the business we're in, Max.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a break here. First, I want to tell you we've got a new email here. If I haven't told you before, it's Barbecue Nation, BBQ Nation at Alpha Media USA. That's alphamediausa.com. And you can send us your recipes too, recipes at alphamediausa.com. Also, what else? Facebook, Barbecue Nation JT on that thing, and Twitter.
Twitter is at the Cowboy Cook.
There you go.
At Tweety.
At Tweety. What are we tweeting? All right, we're going to be back with Max Good from AmazingRibs.com right after we take this quick break. Turn it up.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation, JT, along with the good Dr. Davester. Oh, Dave. Wave.
Hey.
Hey. And we've got Max Good with us today from AmazingRibs.com. You know, usually we have the meathead with us, and he and I are raising hell about something. But now I've got another partner in crime back there, so there I've got Max now. Let's just kind of jump into this list a little bit, Max. How do you... Give us your parameters for evaluating these things. I mean, I'll just start with the top one on your list here, the charcoal grills. Is it the way they're made, the way they're welded, the amount of heat they retain, the grill surface size? What are your, you don't have to tell us everything, but give us your, a thumbnail of the parameters you use.
Well, I'm not a scientist. I'm trying to give real world information to people that's useful, you know. So when I test something, it always starts with opening the box. You know, some manufacturers say they're surprised that I tell them, send it to me in your retail package and I'll put it together. They go, wow, a lot of people that do reviews prefer that we assemble it and send it to them assembled. I go, no, I learn a lot from opening the box and putting it together. You know, and I've been doing this for quite a while now, and I think that, you know, I have an informed opinion on things. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is my opinion. I do some tests with digital thermometers, but I mostly get my hands on them, look at them. You know, anybody that's ever put something together knows that you can tell if it's designed well, if it's constructed well. So that's my first impression, but you know, then I do some temperature tests and I start cooking and evaluate the performance. So if it's, you know, for charcoal grills, they're pretty straightforward, you know.
Yeah.
To some degree, you kind of get what you pay for, because there's a lot of really cheap stuff out there, and you know, I'm not going to go after these really kind of weirdo kettle knockoffs and, you know, things like that. There's
right.
So many of them, and you know, they're just kind of generic. You know, a lot of these products you could say are generic.
Well, there's a lot of them, Max, that are, you know, they're $79 deals, and I just picked that number arbitrarily, but they're $79 deals. They are truly not going to last you more than a season, probably. If they're, I'm just using an example of a $79 kettle that you buy at the Dollar General store or something, you know, they're not going to last, but you should know that going into it, I would think.
You know, I want to add, you can get a Weber kettle for about $80, you know,
yeah.
just a bare bones one, and that will last and it will be good. It now won't have the, ash removal one touch system, and won't have some other features perhaps on, but you know, right at the top of my list for charcoal grills is the, you know, the iconic Weber 22 inch with the one touch ash removal, and that's $160. You can cook anything you want on that dang thing. I just I guess a big difference between what I do and some of the consumer review websites is I really kind of put myself in in your place, basically, you know.
Sure.
I don't know if you've seen my YouTube videos. We call them virtual showroom videos. That's sort of an extension of how I approach things. I'm basically just saying, all right, when our readers come to our website and they want to look at one of my reviews, I try to give them the information that will translate into their life. You know, mm-hmm. If I go and buy this, it's Max is telling me what it does and what I'm going to experience. That's what my goal is, at any rate.
Well, I had a friend of mine who. I'm going to tell you a story about a different friend first, which makes no sense because I didn't name any names. Anyway, he's a guy who works here at the radio station. He has had the same Weber kettle grill for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it
mm-hmm.
still works. It hasn't rusted out. I mean, he probably does a smart thing and keeps the lid on it or pulls it inside in the winter. But, and I was kind of amazed at that, just knowing how Al does things. But, you know, he, doesn't want to go out and get another $200 or $300 grill from someplace else. He's perfectly happy with that. And he has learned, direct, indirect heat, different things, different styles to work with. I think he can probably cook damn near anything on that grill.
Well, that's one of the great things about Weber kettles. You can bake a cake on the dang thing if you learn how to mm-hmm. control it. You
know? Yep. Yep.
There's something else.
Absolutely. Okay, so we got a couple minutes left before we go to break. On your list, you list them from the lowest price to the highest price. And, of course, you've got your Weber Premium 22-inch charcoal, $159, to the top one that you rated, which was your Napoleon Mirage Pro, I don't have to say the serial number, charcoal grill, and that runs about $1,300. If somebody was going to come to you and say, Max, I want to get a charcoal grill off of this list. What are two things? And we got about a minute before we go to break. But what are two things you would say? Is it going to be price and cooking ability? Is it going to be price and the space you have to work with at your home? Maybe you're only in a condo you got a balcony mm-hmm. or something. What are the two things you look for?
Price would be the big thing. First and foremost, because any of these charcoal grills would be good.
Uh-huh.
The last one, the most expensive one, the Napoleon Mirage, it looks kind of like a shiny stainless steel gas grill, so some people just like that look. They feel like it looks cool or
mm-hmm.
So that could be an issue as well. Or capacity, if you want we have our top portable grill list as well for
yeah.
somebody that just wants a small item. But I think price would be a big thing. And then you can get into some subtleties after that as well. But that kind of that's the starting point.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to come back with Max Good. We're going to talk about more grills and more evaluations from Max at AmazingRibs.com right after this on Barbecue Nation.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend.
Hey, welcome back. You are listening to Barbecue Nation on the Radio Northwest Network, and we want to say hi to our affiliates, a couple of them. KVI News 570 in Seattle, KUFO in Portland, and KSEY in Seymour, Texas. How about that? We kind of spread the wealth there a little bit. We're talking with Max Good from AmazingRibs.com. Max does all the... My tongue, I got to go home and wash my tongue and iron it, put some starch on it or something. Man, it's just not working today. Max does all the grill reviews, if you will, for Amazing Ribs, and puts up with Meathead, so that's a good thing. I got to ask you, Max, before we go on further in the list, what do you use personally? What is your favorite machine, apparatus, whatever you want to call it, to use when you're cooking in your backyard?
Well, I do have like a dozen on my deck at any given moment, so
right.
And I keep I keep moving them, but there are some that I don't feel like giving up. I gotta have my Weber kettle. I was lucky enough to get one of the first Weber charcoal summit grills. Until Meathead drags it off of my
off your deck.
Old dead deck.
Yeah. You know?
I'm going to keep that one. But, you know, gas grill, different types of smokers. I don't want to sound like I'm, Mr. Weber, and that's the only thing I test, but I do have a lot of respect for them. But, if I'm testing a smoker, then I do traditional smoked delicacies, just your ribs and pulled pork and et cetera on it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm having a party and I want to smoke something, I oftentimes will go to a pellet smoker just for the ease of use.
Right.
The exception would be if I'm doing a whole mess of ribs, then I might use a pit barrel. That's a rib machine. And that's one that that was one that we discovered early on, and I was floored by the thing. So we really made a big deal out of it, and now they're doing really well, and we're glad of that. And people that we've introduced to it almost unanimously go, my gosh, this thing is so great. For $300 delivered to their door, a lot of people like me went out and got a starter smoker for $150. And I say they're more like ender smokers because they drive you out of your mind a lot of, I went and got some cheapo offset because I was like, oh, that looks cool. Wow, I should have that, right? God. And the funny thing was, all my neighbors and friends are like, wow, you're a pit master. You're smoking meat. It's kind of like a little more mysterious several years ago. But I knew somehow, even though I was getting accolades, believe it or not, I was like, this thing is driving me crazy. So when I started getting my hands on good smokers, they're so much easier to use, and the results are so much better. But if I'm doing like pork butts or briskets or something, I'll often just go to a pellet smoker because, I throw it on before I go to bed and wake up and everything's rocking and rolling.
It's
so easy to use.
Yeah, they are. I mean, we Dave and I are from the land of pellet smokers out here, where Traeger came from. But I did want to back up a step and talk to you about the pit barrel. I know Noah Glanville. He's been on the show several times. I have a pit barrel, and they are cool. That's all I'm going to say is they are cool. And for $300 and not much space, they don't take up much space.
No.
And after they cool off, you can put them right back in the corner in the garage, right where they live, if that's what your situation is. So I wanted to give Noah a little plug on that because that's pretty cool.
I'm going to second that. Noah's a great guy and he's got a great product. And I always say, even if you have a Weber kettle, yes, you can smoke on it, but, a dedicated smoker's going to be even better.
Sure.
And for $300, whether you have a gas grill or a charcoal grill, and if you want to do some serious smoking, that's hard to beat.
It is hard to beat. So your best value on your gas grills, you've got you started just under $200 with a Broil Mate, and Broil Mate, I'm trying to think of which retailer. It's kind of, some of these are kind of assigned to
Broil Mate. It's kind of so that same model, I believe, goes under a couple different names. They're all from Onward Manufacturing in Canada, and they own different brands: Broil Mate, Broil King, Huntington. Some of these, like Huntington's, is an American company. I guess they own them now. They're down in Indiana.
Right.
And, some of these things have been around a long time. The reason I like these type of gas grills in these low price ranges, and you can get it for less than $200,
sure,
by the way. They're cast aluminum bodies. You know, for something in this price range, or a gas grill in this price range, the warranty kind of tells you a little about it. You know, most of them are like a 1 year warranty. You know,
right?
They're not even trying to tease you into thinking this thing's going to last very long. Whereas these will, and you know, they're not real sexy looking. They don't have lights and doodads on them. But if that's your price range, and you want something that's going to be around for a little while, that's why I put a highlight on those. I thought for the money, they're not a bad investment.
No, they're not. I mean, they're. You know, I always tell people it's just like when you're cooking, and David's heard me say this before too. You use the best ingredients that you can afford. Okay, that's not going to blow your budget out of the water or anything else. And you know, if you're going to cook a steak and you decide that you are going to have a sirloin steak versus a rib steak, that's fine. You know, that's perfectly fine. And there's plenty of other examples of those types of things. But you do what you're comfortable with and what you can afford, and it'll work out for you. That's, you know, and I think that same thing has to do with grills. I mean, maniacs like us, you know, I won't tell you how many I've got on my back porch and in my shop, but there's a few, and there's a few more coming. My wife doesn't listen to the show, so I can say that. But anyway, you know, but I like to test them and fuss with them. And there's times I want to use a pellet, you know, a pellet stove. There's times I want to use a gas grill. There's times I want to use the pit barrel. There's times I want to go use. I've got a $155 offset. I won't even tell you the brand, but I bought it 20 odd years ago, and I've hauled it with me through three different moves, and I should paint it, I guess. But you know, that old cheesy offset thing works great. That's the only thing I'm going to tell you about that.
Okay.
But it works great, and I'm glad I bought it, and I'm glad I kept it. And so anyway, we got a couple of minutes here, so let's talk about backyard smokers, and we'll come back and finish up. But you go from Charbroil Vertical to Yoder Loaded Wichita, pretty big jump there in not just price, but as far as style and stuff. Again, what's your favorite one out of this, Max?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm... Let's take a look. You know, I guess we've already both poured a lot of praise on the pit barrel. So
yeah.
Rather than recap that, let's see what else. Looking at them, well, you know, the Weber Smoky Mountain, everybody that's been around forever, guys
sure.
Win awards with those. The Kamados are coming on strong and have been for many years. We got two really good ones here. Everybody knows the Big Green Egg. But I do tend, Big Green Egg is great. I talk to retailers. They go, look, they know how to take care of us and help us take care of our customers. They're a really good company. I have nothing bad to say about Big Green Egg. But there's a lot of competition now, and I got a couple items here that I think are coming on strong. The Vision, they have a really unique system. They call it ProZone.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, their idea was the same complaint that we hear about charcoal grills, the Kamado guys get. Well, I don't like getting my hands dirty with the charcoal. I don't like removing the ash. It's weird to start it. I like a gas grill or something I could just click turn it on, you know.
Max, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. So hold that thought.
Okay.
And we're going to be back with more of Barbecue Nation. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, Dr. Dave, and we've got Max Good from Amazing Ribs with us. We've been talking about their Pitmaster Awards on the best values for the different styles of grills for this year. Once again, though, real quick, I want to thank Painted Hills Natural Beef for making this segment possible, and also our friends down at Barclays in Woodburn. Drive by, sun's out, there's a sidewalk sale at Barclays on the east side of 99E, south of Woodburn. Back to Max Good here. We were, in the last segment, Max, we were talking about smokers, And you were talking about the Kamado-style grills, and guys didn't want to get their hands dirty. Big wimps. That's why God made gloves, you know? So, and water. Well, you can't get the water inside the Kamados, though, because that's a no-no. But
no, but they can wash their hands.
They can wash their hands, you know? So, anyway, you were saying that that's some of the criticism of some things, but I don't think you told us your favorite smoker, though.
It's kind of hard to. I hate to just say I have this one favorite thing.
Sure.
You know, again, price comes into play too. You know, I did want to finish what I was, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
what I was saying about that vision is that they came up with this thing in order to appease people. I don't want to get my hands dirty. I don't want to mess with the ash. I don't like lighting the charcoal. I like gas things or something with a button that I can just turn on. They came up with this insert that slides into the bottom of the Kamado, and it's an ash removal pan with an optional electrical starter on it. And people responded well to it, and it made them think, what else can I do? And they said, well, another thing people don't like is, geez, you know, I'm tired. I got home late on Wednesday. I just want to make some hamburgers. I don't, even though this thing's a little easier to start up, I would rather just fire up a gas grill. So they said, why don't we make an insert that you can swap out with the ashtray, but it's a gas burner, and you can do exactly that. You just slide this gas burner into the bottom of the Kamado, crank it up, and grill up a couple of burgers, and you're done. So I thought that was pretty clever, and they have patents on it. I don't think anybody else, at least I'm not aware of anybody else that has something like it.
I never heard of that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I know I have a Kamado pellet grill from Black Olive.
Well, they just came out with a pellet insert for this particular model as well. So as long as you have, most of their models have that capability.
Sure.
They do have a couple that they're selling like in Home Depot that are lower cost that don't have the Prozone slide out insert at the bottom. So of course those wouldn't work with those.
Okay. Now, finally, for people who are perhaps a little more serious about their cooking, we have the combo cookers. You start here with Meadow Creek. That's about $7.50, and you go up to the M-Grill, M1 charcoal grill and smoker. That's about $2,000 there. Your favorite? I mean, you've done them in the price range, but if Meathead was so kind and said, Max, you get to keep one of these, which one would it be?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's real, they're so different. Well, I told you I have the Summit charcoal grill and I do like it a lot. It's very easy to use. I know that Meathead himself, he loves that Hasty Bake. He's got one on his deck. I don't know. You know, people that are like stick burners, you know, you want to go for that, the M1, which is a very unique design. And it's a lot like a Hasty Bake, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Only it's they're a small company. They're, you know, just a small regional metal fabricator. We normally wouldn't necessarily want to review something from a small regional company, but this one was a little more interesting. They really did. It's obvious that there's some reference to the Hasty Bake design with this, but they've put in a couple new features, and they also it's real beefy, and it's kind of like from the sensibilities of the heavy duty offset manufacturers. Then again, what about the Woodwind, the Camp Chef Woodwind, you know, a pellet smoker with a super duper sear burner attached to the side, addressing one of the complaints that people have about pellet smokers is they really don't make very good grills. I mean, some are a little better than others, and if you buy grill grates or throw a cast iron griddle on them, that helps a lot. But Camp Chef said, well, the heck with that, let's just slap a super powered gas grill onto the side of it, and they were done. You
they
know?
Were done. Speaking of being done, Max, we're running out of time, my friend. We got to go. But Max Good from AmazingRibs.com, you can go on AmazingRibs.com and read their best value list, their Pitmaster Awards for 2018, and Max was the one that did that. And you can also contact him through AmazingRibs.com. So we got to get out of here. We're out of time. Max, thanks for being with us. Dr. Dave, we will see you again next week. And for everybody listening, remember our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. Check me out on thecowboycook.com. We'll see you next week, everybody.